Hello, hello, my heart refined friends. Welcome to a new day during your drive time, your jog time, your laundry time, whatever time. I'm just grateful to be able to be with you. So in the last episode, we were talking about Romans 2, and we were in verses 4 through 11. And really, this is just such a beautiful picture of God's love for us and His perfection. And it's His kindness that leads to repentance. And yet we reject that for our own way. And we don't want God's terms. And when we realize, because I think we define God's terms as something so evil, honestly, because it's oppresses what we want to do. However, what He's not doing is not oppressing us. He's making us free. And so this chapter, this whole book shows us such a beautiful image of Him setting us free. So now we are finally going to move on to Romans 8. So how does this all connect from Romans 2 to Romans 8? We've established that God is good to those who choose Him. But how do we even get there? And we keep asking, I think that's a question that I keep having on my heart. Because all of us are in different spaces in our life. And as we've established in the last podcast and really over the course of all these, there could be some who have not had a true relationship with Jesus. And it's got to be a relationship that's truly transformed. I'm stumbling on my words here, but I think we get into a space sometimes where, we believe that Jesus is real, but we'd really rather continue to live in our desires. And the honest truth is that our desires give way to sin, and sin gives way to death. And so we have to be in a crucified relationship, crucified to ourselves, so that we can serve Him, be in a relationship with Him that transforms us in such a way that the old is gone and the new has come. And we also see that there are some of us who have known Jesus for some time, but you get into these places, they're just dark, and we refuse to let Him have full control of that. I think it could be our children, it could be our health, our parents, our job. There could be a bitterness or unforgiveness. It could be politics, and boy, isn't that a big thing around us anymore. It could be COVID. It could be vaccines. It could be masks. Really, any of the things. It could be entertainment. It could be sexual desires. It could be submissiveness to your husband, or learning what that actually means. We run from that S word as though it's so toxic and dangerous, but submissive is not a bad word. Just like I was saying before, and I've said this many times, repentance is not a bad word. This is not some old white man's word. Repentance and submission are there are things that are ordained by God because He wants to lay favor on relationship so that we can serve Him better together. And that's just a fact. So it could be not wanting to lay that down and give that to Him. It could be your quiet time. It could be your ministry. It could be your service. It could be your schedule. It could be your food, your exercise. What if it's depression or anxiety? You just don't want to lay that down. Or maybe you have some sort of cognitive or emotional disorder that you defend. And listen, I'm not coming from a judgmental place with this. This is something I've experienced on my own. It is so easy to live in defense of a sickness, whatever kind it is, emotional, physical, spiritual, relational, however you go. It's easier to be a victim than it is a victor. And I know that sounds like cliche church sign stuff, but that's just the truth. And just like any of these things, all of these things, we fall into this space where self-pity is prime in our hearts, and overcoming like Jesus overcame is just sort of like, whatever, I don't have to do that right now because surely God sees what I'm going through. Well, yeah, He does. He allowed His Son to go through the worst of the worst. There's no place that your foot lands that Jesus has not. And so, yes, He does expect you to be an overcomer, but not because of your strength, only because of His. See, you get to a point, it could be anything at all that could come in between you and your relationship with the Lord. But remember, since God does not have favorites, Christians, just the same as non-believers, can experience these afflictions. And we can become slaves to sin and self. And so, as I say, we have to learn how to overcome in Jesus' name. And what does that mean, in Jesus' name? That's not just like a magic potion. It is a truth. And if you believe it in your heart that it is Jesus who has set us free, then we're going to experience freedom per the Lord's ordinance and per how he finds that best to glorify himself and to benefit our lives. But he will. He's good that way. So how do we get to that place of reverence and repentance? We go back to looking at his goodness and his providence every single time. That's how we become free. So let's go and let's read Romans 8, 18 through 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly waits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Not only that, but we ourselves, who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now, in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait with patience. Now, from these verses, we're going to break down into four segments of God's goodness. Now, anybody who hears me say four segments might like get worried that I'm going to talk and talk and talk. Well, of course, we're on podcast, so you can cut me off at any time. But we're going to stay within the 10-minute range on these. So we're going to work through these four over the course of this week, I guess is what I'd say, this particular four set. So anyways, we'll go through these as quickly as possible. So first of all, Paul's words start out very simply. He just says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are just not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. In other words, heaven should be enough to bring you back to good. You think about that? The glory that is within should be enough. But since that's not the case, for our minds and our bodies, for our finite minds that are driven by selfish desire, God is good enough to provide example and opportunity here on the earth. Look, let's go back to verses 19 through 22. It says, for the creation eagerly awaits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. So, in other words, the sin of Adam and Eve caused more than just our fall. It cursed all of creation, and because of that curse, creation has been subjected by its very creator to corruption and misery. In other words, the storms, the fires, the floods, etc. As a result, it has been groaning in anticipation of the return of Christ the King. Remember, and this is important to remember, its groaning is soulless. However, it is submissive. And what we're going to move into, and I'm going to save this for the next podcast, but the creation's groaning is soulless, but ours is not. And we'll develop that as we go along. But you recognize something. You have the power to worship today. If the rocks cry out, so will I. And so anyways, my brothers and sisters, as you listen, I pray that you are driven today, that no matter what is surrounding you, what storm, what fire, what flood in the figurative, and some might be quite literal, that's surrounding you, that you rest in his goodness, knowing that there is a groaning inside of you that is for him. Okay, that's it. I'll talk to you more about that tomorrow. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.